anyone else want to learn about heat blunting improvements in aerobic power?
Yes, please. Can you read
okay.
Can you read us the first line of your presentation?
Okay. PGC1A has been termed the master regulator of mitochondrial biogenesis. The exercise-induced rise in PGC1A transcription is blunted when acute exercise takes place in the heat.
That's the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
Do you think I can earn a biology or a kinesiology degree with that amount of information?
Maybe. Just write that on every test. You never know. Get and one mark or something.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah. A squared plus or minus the square root of negative B. I don't know. Negative B. I don't know. I'm over this. Okay.
Is that usually the fucking quadratic formula?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I'm over this. No more athletic therapy talk. What do we got? What we got today? Welcome to the second half.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the second half. We had a long halftime. We had a great halftime show. It was me practicing my presentation, and we're back for the second half. We're probably gonna try to keep this relatively short. It's 8:30 right now, but we missed a lot. There's still a lot of trades I haven't talked about. Claude Giroux is the main one. I think Andrew Kopp is another one.
Yeah.
So
Marc-André Fleury's up there too. We'll start with Claude Giroux. But for anyone viewing this on YouTube, you may notice that we're recording in the dark right now, and that's this episode is brought to you by those late night, you know, those visits you make to the bar or the club, and then you need to find a way
home.
Brought to you by Patrick Kane.
That was bad. Oh well, sorry.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Oh well. Controversial.
Leave it in. It's fine. It's fine.
And you need to find your way back home via a taxi. I can't even finish this.
Okay. No, okay. We're good. Okay. Claude Giroux was traded. Yep. Claude Giroux was traded. This is something that we talked about last podcast. That's something you actually kind of called. You said that Claude Giroux to the Panthers was getting close.
Boo.
And it was. And it happened. So it's Claude Giroux at 50% retained. So the Florida Panthers currently have him for $4,137,500. In addition to Herman Ribitsov, again, sorry if I butchered that, Connor Bunet, Bunemann.
Wait, it's
and
not,
a 20.
It's not German Ribitsov?
I don't know. I assume it's Herman. Might be German Ribitsov. I don't know. Anyways, in a 2024 fifth round pick to the Panthers in exchange for Owen Tippett, who is a former first round pick. I think at one point he's a really highly touted prospect. I didn't get a pretty good year last year. Mm-hmm. 2023 third round pick and a 2024 first round pick to Florida. Sorry, to Philadelphia from Florida. And if the pick is a top 10 selection, Philadelphia will instead receive Florida's 2025 first round pick. And I assume that is not protected, but that's probably not going to happen, barring some massive collapse by the Florida Panthers. So it's basically going to be 2024 first, 2023 second, and Owen Tippett basically for Claude Giroux and a 2024 fifth.
You know, thoughts? You know what Florida's top line could look like right now? If they just want to
Barkov, I think they were at morning skate this morning. I think I saw Claude Giroux in the Panthers jersey, the practice jersey this morning. Mm-hmm. And I believe it is Carter Verhaeghe, Alex Barkov, and Claude Giroux, which is gross.
And do you know what's even more gross? Yeah. The power play.
Oh yeah.
Oh my fucking god. Sam Reinhart, Barkov, Duclair, Huberdeau, Giroux. Oh,
there was not a single defenseman on that unit, but that's okay.
Yep, not even one. But you don't need one. Like, on a power play, that's a little overrated, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wish more teams did
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, like, it's...
You asked for my thought, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
You asked for my thought?
Yeah, sorry, I did. And I immediately went with my thought, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you listen to me! Kidding.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My initial thought is, oh my God, like Florida. Why does it have to be Florida? Why does it have to be the Atlantic Division? Why does it have to be Florida? Why does it have to be the team that the Leafs are probably going to face in the first or second round? Why to fuck why? Like, why are you doing this? Like, if it was a Western Conference team, if it was like the New York Rangers, but like, it's Florida. And they already got, yeah. I mean, okay, well, screw you. You spent that much for Sherratt. So, like, you could have actually gotten something better.
Oh my God, that's two firsts they gave up. Yeah. Holy shit. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But yo, this team is disgusting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a Leafs fan. If you didn't know, I'm a Leafs fan.
Yep.
And, it's going to be Florida and Colorado in the finals this year. So let's just, we can plan the parade for one of those two in advance.
I also called Florida coming out of the East. Yeah, I called Florida coming out of the East at the beginning of the year. I'm just going to throw that out there. So I really hope that happens. I really do. Oh my God.
Man, you got lucky.
I did not get lucky. I just, I'm just that great. Sorry. I'm just pulling up Sergei Bobrovsky's stats because they are very relevant in the success of the Florida Panthers.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, okay. Here's my take. I really don't mind it at all. And here's why. This is going to be a really interesting, it's going to be really interesting next couple of weeks, playoffs for the Florida Panthers. The reason I say that is because, you said it yourself. Obviously on paper they're stacked. Sam Reinhart's the highest paid Panther right now. Take that in. That's crazy. Oh my funny. God. Yeah. Next year Barkov gets 10 and then Hooper does a 5.9. So like I think they have a very, very tight window. Like very tight. Just given the amount of players they have. They have a really nice core, but they have Barkov making 10 next year. Huberto's up in not this year, but after like next season, he'll be a pending UFA. So he's going to get paid. Bobrovsky's making 10. Ekblad's making 7.5. I think they have a very, very tight window. Now, granted, they have Claude Giroux coming off the books. That's 4, $1.5 million. If I'm a Florida Panthers fan, I love it for the now. Mm-hmm. And I worry about the rest later. So if I'm a Florida Panthers fan, I'm very happy and very excited. What I would say though, is they don't have their first this year. They don't have it next year and they don't have it the year after. No first round picks the next 3 years. No second this year. They have a second next year. No second after that. They are very clearly in the go for it now, which is fine. I love that for them. Good for them. Right. Yeah. So just so you know, they gave away their first round pick this year to get signed Sam Reinhart. It was Sam Reinhart in exchange for Devin Levi, the signing rights to Devin Levi and first round pick. And yeah, so they got their first round pick this year. So anyways, my main point here is I think people are talking about how great Florida is now, and rightfully so, because they had a really good year last year. But if they're not careful, I think they're going to get themselves in a hole. That's my main point.
So basically, the fact that Barkov is coming up next year, and all their contracts are kind of catching up with them now, it makes sense why they're going all the way in this trade deadline.
Yeah, yeah. Carter Verhaeghe after this, Carter Verhaeghe this year after this year is making $4 million. That's a $3 million raise.
Oh boy.
Okay,
so their cap crunch is coming. Their contracts are now gonna hit them in the face.
Is it over?
Off season. So is this totally makes sense now? But at the same time, that Bobrovsky contract, when does it end?
When the sun explodes. No, just give me a second.
5 billion years.
Probably not long after. 2025, 2026. So that's 1, 2, 3. That's four more seasons after this one.
Oh my god.
And he will be so that's 34, 35, 36, 37. He'll be 37 when that contract expires.
Hmm. Okay, well, similar to the Wild then, because the Wild are going to face the extremely harsh cap penalty starting next season and onwards. The Florida Panthers are in a similar situation with their contracts coming up too. So this makes sense. Giroux, 1,000 games played on the dot for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, but yeah.
Right? It's like everyone knew it was going to happen. They just kept the trade from happening until he played his 1,000th game, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so, man, stacked. Goaltender is like your only worrying position at this point. Do you know if they made any goalie acquisition over the trade deadline? I don't think so.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
So,
because they have, they got Bob, they got Spencer Knight, and they have Jonas Johansson, who's their third string. So,
this is a very similar situation to the Leafs. Then, like you took a gamble that your goaltending will be sufficient, it'll be okay, and forward and defense will figure themselves out. So, oof. Man, though.
Last four games, Sergei Bobrovsky, in terms of save percentage, one. So, shout out, 920, 914, 919. So, Florida, as I mentioned before, was in a situation where they were among the worst save percentages after the trade deadline or after the All-Star break. Can Bobrovsky resurrect that a bit? We will see. But just looking at his game log now, he's been very inconsistent. A couple like ones, couple like 923s, 917s, but also like 818, 844, 889, 889, 882. So we'll see. And this is something, again, we should probably talk about. Aaron Ekblad's out for the rest of the regular season. So that now means that, Mackenzie Weegar is basically now their number one D. They went and got Robert Hägg from the Buffalo Sabres for virtually nothing. So that's a nice little replacement there. But yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about before, though, with Florida not having a super deep defense core. So now they're like their six highest paid defense right now are Brandon Montour, Mackenzie Weegar, Gustav Forsling, Radko Gudas, Robert Hägg, and Materia Lindbaum. So.
Robert Hägg, who they also acquired at the trade deadline for a sixth-round pick to Buffalo, I believe. Anton Lindell is actually nothing. Lindell's also having a phenomenal season as a rookie, highly underrated. He is currently out as well with an injury. Yeah. And then Hornqvist also is out with an injury right now. Oh, and then don't forget, Joe Thornton.
Jumbo.
I mean, not like he's going to really make a difference. You know, you were mentioning Bob is having a very inconsistent season, right?
Having a very Bobrovsky season, yes.
Yep. You know who isn't having an inconsistent season?
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Nope, Claude Giroux.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That, I thought that was going to be a segue. But, yeah.
I just want to... Can I run you through some stats? This guy has been...
I would love you to, yeah.
This guy has been, by the way, the popping is still there. If you could just mute your mic. Claude Giroux, the entire time in the league, has been one of, if not the best, face-off winner consistently since 07-08, which is when he entered the league. Right now, this season, he has a 61% face-off win percentage.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
And he is joining the Florida team now that already has Barkov. Like, dude. And he's a phenomenal two-way center. He puts up the points what he needs to. This season, this guy has 42 points in 57 games played.
Yeah.
Last season, 43 and 54. And these were on shit Philadelphia teams. On the good Philadelphia teams, and like in 17-18, 102 points in 82 games. So he's phenomenal. I don't need to emphasize that more. Everyone already knows. If you're unfamiliar with Claude Giroux, you're probably living under a rock. But he might just be the thing that pushes them over the top if Bobrovsky can actually be consistent for an extended stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're... I think he's been playing wing most of the year. So like, yeah. That's one of the nice things. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure, but like, they have so much flexibility now. Like, they could literally run a 1-2-3 center of Barkov, Giroux, Sam Bennett, or do Barkov, Giroux, Verhaeghe, or Huberto, Giroux, Reinhardt. Like, it's so gross. It is so, so, so gross.
Yep.
But again, like, even just looking at like Bobrovsky's save numbers, like, it looks like they've been giving up a pretty high amount of shots, which is kind of concerning. And with Ekblad out, I just have questions in terms of whether or not the decor can actually get it done. Like, 37 shots against Philly. Sorry, this is allowed, by the way. 37 against Philly, 35 against Pittsburgh, 25 against Detroit, 18 against Ottawa, 22 against Edmonton, 32 against Nashville.
Wow.
Like, there's like a 1-2, yeah, like 36, 34, 35, 40, 30, 30, 44. Holy shit. Yeah. Like, so we'll see what they can do. Again, it's very clear they're just in now. They're going to put the best forward group that they can together, which I think is great. And then they're going to worry about the rest later, which is fine. But yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Owen Tippett and the other three young hockey players.
It's basically just Tippett. Tippett's okay. The main piece there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess we'll see. Quick question.
Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned that Sergei Bobrovsky is having an extremely inconsistent season, right?
Oh, no. Flurry.
Yes. I was like, let me use the same segue.
I won. Yeah, great. Yeah.
You want me to introduce this
one? That was a... If you can, yeah. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm looking for it, so go ahead.
Sure. So, Marc-Andre Fleury was traded to the Minnesota Wild by the Blackhawks on Monday for just one thing in return, that being a conditional first-round pick in 2022. And that's it. The condition is...
Yeah.
This upgrades to a, so it's going to be a 2022 second, but it upgrades to a first if Minnesota reaches the Western Conference Final and Fleury has at least 4 wins in the first 2 rounds. Right now, Fleury.
Oh yeah, okay, it's soft, yeah.
So he's backing up Cam Talbot right now. Whether it's going to be a tandem or Fleury steals the job, we don't know yet, but. This is like the best thing you can do and you can ask for if you're a Minnesota Wild fan. Yeah. Kaapo Kakko has been up and down this season. So they actually had to ship him out to the Sharks in order to make room for Fleury in the crease.
A big whoop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love this move for Minnesota. I love it.
Me too.
If they make it to the conference final, it was worth giving up a first round pick. Let's just get that out of the way. And it's 50% retained. So the Wild are paying him 3.5, which is fine. That's actually not bad for a goalie with his statistics. Earlier on, like, you've been very vocal with the Minnesota Wild potentially going far in the playoffs. So I've been very iffy about them. And part of the reason is just because Kaapo Kakko and Cam Talbot is not my cup of tea when it comes to playoff goaltending. But they went and addressed that. So they now have a proven goalie to get them through the playoffs. Do I still have questions about the Minnesota Wild? Yes, very much so. I think they're a very good team. Do not get me wrong. They have some very underrated players on that team. The defense score, to me, is still a question mark a little bit. But like you said, and this is something that I think we're going to hear a lot about next little bit, but the Minnesota Wild have such a tight window, just given the buyouts that were they gave to Parise and Suter. So after this season, next year, they're paying $12.7 million in buyout money for Parise and Suter. Year after that, 14.7. Year after that, 14.7. And it goes down to 1.6. So that's a lot of money for players who are not playing for them. So they have to be in like win it now mode. My only concern is clearly on paper, they are not better than teams like the Avalanche, the Panthers, the Lightning, like the Flames. I think they got a lot better by making this deal. But I also have my questions in terms of how good they are actually going to be the rest of the way in comparison to other powerhouses, if you will. Because I do not, as of right now, do not see them as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
At this trade deadline, the Minnesota Wild acquired Tyson Jost, Nick DeLaurier. They also acquired Marc-Andre Fleury. And so right now, their lineup looks like Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello, Fiala, Goudreau, Matt Boldy for the top two lines. And then defense.
They also got Jacob Middleton.
You're right. They also got Jacob Middleton. The defense looks like Brodin, Dumba, Goligoski, Spurgeon, Merrill, Kulikov. So their defense is amazing. Their defense is very, very good. You know what? I'm going to make a prediction. I think they'll end up going to the Western Conference Final. I think that pick turns into the first.
Yeah. Holy. Okay. Let's see. Just give me a second.
Are you looking at possible
I'm just looking at teams. And I think, again, I'm very high on Calgary. I have been since they got Tyler Toffoli, and I've been kind of on that train for most of the season. By the way, Daryl Sutter is fully taking the Jack Adams this year. I don't care what anyone says. Daryl Sutter has it in the bag. I just think Colorado and Calgary are head and shoulders the two best teams in the Western Conference. So, like, unless they face each other leading to the conference final, I could I agree with you, but if they don't meet each other, I think it's gonna be the Avs and the Flames, because like, barring some massive Avalanche collapse, which I'm not putting past them, but yeah, I think it's gonna be Avalanche, and I'll be interested to see, though. Very interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. If the playoffs started right now, the Minnesota Wild would play the Nashville Predators in the first round. Yeah. And to be honest.
And they probably win.
It's probably
going to happen.
It's looking like the first round matchup will probably be either Minnesota-Nashville or Minnesota-St. Louis.
If it's Minnesota-St. Louis, that could be very interesting. I don't know if Minnesota, like...
I still
think Minnesota. Nothing against Minnesota at all. Yeah, like, again, it's probably a coin flip for me. But, like, oh, my God. There's a 17-point gap between Minnesota and Colorado. Oh, yeah. My God. That's crazy. Holy shit. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Minnesota's a very good hockey team. I'm not saying they suck or anything. I'm just saying I have questions in terms of how well they can do in the playoffs just based off of the opponents that they might be facing. That's all.
Do you know how many wins Fleury has in his NHL career?
800.
511. Which is still a remarkable amount, but do you know,
I was gonna say 500, but damn it, okay,
a million. Yeah, do you know where that ranks in all-time wins for goalies?
11th.
Third.
Holy yep. Shit, that's impressive.
He's only behind
some good teams. That's true. He's
only behind, guess who is he behind?
Pat, no,
someone with
551
wins.
Oh my.
And another person with 691 wins. You should know this.
All time. Dominic Hasek.
Wins.
Johnny Bauer.
Not save percentage, wins. No.
Wins. Oh my God. Patrick Waugh. That's got to be one.
Patrick Waugh is second with 551.
Patrick Waugh. Good goalies. Huh.
Who is the number one in NHL wins for a goalie with 690?
Don't even. Oh my God. Like, no. There's no way. No.
You're forgetting someone. You are forgetting someone.
It's gonna kick me in the ass later. Is it Carey Price? There's no way it's Carey Price.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Who was it?
St. Louis legend.
St. Louis legend. Who?
Yeah. St. Louis legend. Who? You don't remember?
No.
Marty Brodeur.
Oh right, yeah, that's bad. Oh well, okay, fuck it.
St. Louis legend.
Oh well, yeah,
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's good.
Okay. Okay. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. So I bought a line. No, because I've heard so many stupid Carey Price goaltending statistics nowadays. I can't keep up.
It's okay. Like,
yeah. Anyways, bottom line is Wild got very good. They got a lot better with this trade. They got consistent. They got a very consistent player at a position where they were not very consistent before. And yeah, man, they're going to be a fun team to watch going into the playoffs with Kirill the Thrill. But yeah, we'll see.
Hell yeah. Okay. You know what else is a thrill?
What is a thrill? Enlighten me.
Andrew Kopp.
Yes.
So True. This is interesting because the New York Rangers, I made a prediction a few weeks ago saying they remind me of the 2017 Leafs where they didn't go all the way in, but they made a couple roster additions here and there. Like they added Plekanec 1 year. They added Brian Boyle 1 year. So nothing extravagant, right? But little additions here and there. New York Rangers say, fuck you to that philosophy. And they're going in as well. So they added Andrew Kopp, this guy this season, on the Winnipeg Jets, has 35 points in 56 games played. He's having a career year.
Solid.
Currently. Yeah. Where would he slot in to the New York Rangers? Possibly, it's going to be a middle six addition. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Rangers, their lineup currently looks like Chris Kreider, who's having an unbelievable season in scoring goals. Mika Zibanejad, who is amazing. Alex Lafreniere. By the way, the mic is still popping. Alex Lafreniere. Artemi Panarin, Ryan Strome, Frank Vatrano, who they just added a couple days ago. Andrew Kopp, who they just added. Philip Keitel and Dryden Hunt. And then last line, Tyler Mott, Barkley Goodrow, and Ryan Reeves. Barkley Goodrow, Stanley Cup champion.
My guess would be he's going to slot it on that second line, and they probably would do something like Strome, Andrew Kopp, and pick your other right winger. Who is it, Panarin? Like,
he's a left winger, though.
Who is?
Panarin, no?
Oh, yeah, they're both lefties. Yeah, no, lefty, yeah. Like,
they'll figure it out.
Okay, then you do Kopp. Then you do Kopp at center, Ryan Strome on the right, Panarin on the left. Like, I just don't think the Rangers would spend those assets, which were Morgan Barron, HL player, don't know much about him, two second round picks, both conditional, and a fifth. So the pick upgrades to a first if the Rangers win two playoff rounds and Kopp plays 50% of the games. So that's on the Rangers pick, and on the Blues pick, which is also conditional. They have the option. The Jets have an option of a 2022 second or the Rangers 2023 second. So basically they can either take that one or take the Rangers pick next year. So, it could turn into a first, a second, and a fifth.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't see them making that type of commitment in terms of assets unless they're planning on using him in the top six. Because I do think he actually is a top six player, like a second line player. But he was pretty... to stuck behind a pretty tough, a pretty deep forward group in Winnipeg. And I think even recently he was on their second line. So I'm willing to bet he's going to be up there with Panarin and Ryan Strome, especially because of the things that he does on the ice. I think he wins faceoffs. He kills penalties. He's a very gritty player. Goes in the corners, gets the puck, has a really nice shot from what I remember. So yeah, I like this move a lot for the Rangers, but yeah, they're going all in. They're putting all their chips in the middle as well.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew Kopp is currently making $3.6 million, and he's set to be a UFA by the end of the season. So that's a rental. They also added Tyler Mott from the trade deadline. They also added Justin Braun for the trade deadline. So they made a lot of additions. Yeah, that's five players directly.
I like it. I like the. Mm-hmm. And they have actually they have a good chunk of their picks after this year. Actually, that's not true. They have all. They have. They don't. They might not have their first this year, but if their condition doesn't, if they don't hit the condition, they have their first this year, the year, next year, and the year after. They don't have a. They don't have a second. This year they don't have a third. They don't have their fourth. They have a fifth, a sixth, and not their seventh. So like, they have majority of their picks. For the future, like the more valuable ones, like the first and seconds. So, again, we'll see what happens with that.
It's exciting. Clearly that management believes in this roster now. They're clearly awarding or rewarding the existing players on the roster big time with five additions at the trade deadline. So again, I feel like we say this at the end of every trade. We'll see what happens.
One last thing on the Rangers. The thing that I find very interesting about the Rangers is like they're doing very well. They are currently second in their division, 3 points behind Carolina, who people are saying is the consensus Stanley Cup favorite. Carolina's cooled off a little bit, 4-4-2 in the last 10. They've hit a little bit of a snag. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But if you look at the New York Rangers heat map and their defensive heat map and the shots they give up, it's quite bad. And it's quite clear that Shesterkin is really holding them in games and literally winning them games. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out in the playoffs. Because, again, we've seen it before where goalies get super tired and basically flame out. So, could that be Shesterkin this year? I don't know, but we will see.
Oilers made one addition or a couple small additions to their lineup. They honestly
predictable.
They don't have much space to play with, so this is the best they could do. Exactly. They added their biggest addition was Brett Kulak from the Montreal Canadiens.
Does he have term?
Let's see.
Do you know? I'm playing up the cap friendly right now.
He is.
That's gonna be a waste of a pick. I don't know what they give up at.
Yeah, so the trade was Brett Kulak traded to the Edmonton Oilers by the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens in return received William Lagesson, who is also a defenseman, a conditional second-round pick in 2022, and a seventh-round pick in 2024 in exchange for Brett Kulak. The condition is if the Oilers, oh my God, if they reach the Stanley Cup final, the second-round pick in the 2022 draft will become a second-round pick in the 2023 draft. Yeah, look, like that's not happening. So that's gonna be a 2022 pick.
Yeah.
I can't believe
that's a
so you're telling me that in the negotiation phase of this trade, Ken Holland went to Montreal Canadiens and was like, listen, like we'll take Brett Kulak and we'll give you the first, but you know, if we make the Stanley Cup final, you gotta take our next year's pick.
Oh my God.
And hold on. I want you to look at me in the face right now and tell me you're going to make the Stanley Cup final with this playoff roster. No, you're fucking not.
They got fleeced. Well, yeah, not fleeced, but like.
The Montreal Canadiens did really well.
Oh my God. They have William Lagesson, who's an RFA at the end of the year. So he has a controllable asset, a second, and the 27th. For Brett Kulak. Oh my God. Good for Montreal. Straight up. Oh my God. Wow.
Look.
Wow.
I'm going to say it and I'll say it again. Ken Holland is not fit to be GM of the Edmonton Oilers. He is, to any Oilers fan listening to this, you know that Simon and I are not huge fans of your team right now. And over the last 2 months, we have grown a funny little hatred toward your team.
Mine's been like growing since I was like seven, but yeah, no, I'm joking, but yeah, no,
it's true. Not good, go man. It's not good. He's not fit to run the Oilers. He's tanking your team as we speak. Oh, and they also acquired Derek Brassard.
I called this. I told you, they were not going to they weren't going to do much. They don't have space. They don't have assets to give up. So, like, other than their draft picks, and, like, I don't think they're going to give up their first-round pick or any of their really valuable draft picks. They don't have a second. They don't have a third. They don't have a fourth this year. Wow. Yeah, like, how do you let that happen?
Look, look, look. What did Ken Holland say last year? He said, there are some years you go all in at the trade deadline, and there are some years you don't. Since Ken Holland has come and been the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, when has he ever gone all in? When has he made a move that could remarkably improve this team?
I give him credit for this one. Like, I genuinely give him credit this year, because this, like, just the team's not good enough to go for it this year. So, I mean, good on him for not, like, genuinely crippling them, like, in the future.
Dude, that's the baseline. That's, like, the bare minimum of what you do as a GM. As a GM, what's your job? To improve the team, but also make sure you don't cripple them. Like, obviously, that's so obvious. You're saying Ken Holland is doing, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah. Like, he's trying to work out of his own mess, and the mess that was basically left for him when Peter Shirelli got fired. Because, like, man, like, every their cat-friendly page is so unpleasant to look at. It's so bad. Oh, my God. Like, man. Wow. Want to know something funny?
Okay, fine. What is it?
They have Duncan Keith at 5.5 next year. Yes. And they have Tyson Barry for 2 more after this at 4.5. And they have Cody Ceci at 3.25 for the next 3. Oh my God.
You're fucked.
So
And 893, 857, 969, 906, 897. What am I reading right now?
Miko Koskinen and save percentages.
Last 5 games. Yes. You want to know the teams that he's had these horrible save percentages against? New Jersey Devils. Like
Ottawa.
Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Also Tampa and Washington and Calgary. But, like, what are you laughing at?
Yeah. That's so bad. Oh, oh well. I mean, look, Edmonton knew that this year was not going to be the year anyway. So if they make the playoffs, it's house money, I think, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe not, just because, but, like, I just think, again, we talked about this earlier, but, like, the expectation for them are just way too high. They're not a good hockey team. So, like, the fact they're saying we're the best Canadian team, like, yada, 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 like, it just seems so sad.
So, what's remarkable is...
I don't even mean the disrespect, but I just mean, like, they're not the best Canadian team. And the fact that people actually think that is laughable.
Who the fuck thinks that? Who said they're the best Canadian team?
I've seen multiple takes. I've seen multiple takes. It's not good.
Dude.
Also, did you know Leon Draisaitl is better than Austin Matthews? Did you know that? I've seen that I've seen that a lot of times.
No.
Big no. Yeah, exactly. That was Anyways, yes.
Look, please. I'm a Leafs fan, so my take is going to be biased, but I don't think I'm wrong in saying.
At least you preface that.
Toronto is probably the best Canadian team currently, right? Don't know. Maybe it's gonna be between Toronto and Calgary. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Well, it depends on what you consider best. I'm saying if it's on paper, I take Toronto. If it is performance based, as of right now, in terms of what we are actually seeing, I have to go Calgary.
Until the Leafs can get consistent goaltending, I think I'll take Calgary too.
Exactly my point. I was gonna say the difference maker in that equation is Jacob Markstrom. He's been one of the best goalies in the league the last 2 years.
Okay. Transition. No? You're right. Transition. Edmonton Oilers. They have superstars in Connor McDavid, and they have Leon Draisaitl, right? And Cody Ceci and Duncan Keith.
Agree.
And Mikko Koskinen.
yeah.
Who is...
They have like $12 locked. Hold on. Go ahead.
$12 locked.
No, 12. They have $12 million in Keith, Barry, and CeCe next year or something like that. Anyways.
I want to facepalm my face through my head and out the other side of my window behind me. Other superstars in the league. Face of the league, if you will. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. And what did their general manager do for them? Rewarded them with Ricard Raquel.
Yeah.
That's my transition.
Yeah. Nice little pickup. I figured that. It's a nice little pickup. I keep seeing it. This is going to be the last year, for like last run for the Penguins. I'm fascinated to see what happens with them. I'm just blown away that no one's talking. I feel like no one's talked about how Malkin's a pending UFA. Same with Chris Letang.
You're right.
Brian Burke brought it up recently. When the Penguins are playing the Leafs relatively recently, I can't remember how long ago that was, but Brian Russ is a UFA, Kasperi Kapanen's an RFA, Ricard Raquel's not coming back, I don't think. Dan Heinen, Brian Boyle, what do you really have? Anyways, if this is really their last run, I'll be interested to see what happens. Because again, they're overperforming. They are current, like they're tied with New York for the second best record in their division. So they've been good.
Yeah.
And again, that just says wonders about Crosby and Malkin and the rest of the boys down in Pittsburgh. But I don't think they're going to go far. Simply because of Tristan Jarry. I don't know what they got there.
Tristan Jarry's been excellent this season. He's been excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But where they're currently seated, they don't have to play the New York Rangers. Are you taking the Rangers or the Penguins?
Yo, honestly, Penguins. Honestly speaking.
Okay, if they play, I'm going to have to we'll make a bet because I don't think it's going to be the Penguins.
Tristan Jarry has a 922 this season. 49 games.
Shesterkin has like a 9. Shesterkin has like a 2. Hold on. I want to read you these stats because they're stupid. They're actually stupid. I was reading at one point in the season. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Oh my god. Okay, hold on, hold on. Take a gander. Take a guess at what his goals against average is. Take a guess.
1.8.
Okay, that's excessive. No, that is 2.05.
Bum.
1.8. I don't think 1.8's ever been done like in the modern era. I could be wrong with that, but 2. He has a 2.05 goals against average. He basically has a goal against average of 2, and his save percentage is 938.
Man, fuck.
oh my god, that's so funny. Like, that is Carey Price-esque, like, ish MVP numbers, if not better.
That's better than Carey Price. Yo, Carey Price has been overrated. Okay, hold on. Sorry. I'm going to take that back.
No, hold on. Okay. I'm pulling something up, but go ahead.
Basically, look, Shesterkin, he may be phenomenal. Tristan Jarry is also having a good season, but top to bottom, roster-wise, and looking at the seasons that both teams are having, I still would take Pittsburgh Penguins over the New York Rangers. I'm just saying.
Roster? Bro, mm-hmm. You're fucked. You're actually fucked. Okay. That's fine. 15, 16. Dude. Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, his stats are better than Carey Price's goal. Okay, never mind. I lied. Oh my god. Yeah, in 14-15, Carey Price had a 1.96 goals against average.
It's not 1.8 though.
Goals
it's not 1.8.
Yeah, because it's fucking impossible. But yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah. Look. Anyways,
Here's the roster: Gensel, Crosby, Rodriguez. Who Rodriguez is basically Superman out of nowhere. Danton Heinen, Malkin, Rust, Raquel, probably third line. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he substitutes with Rust to join Malkin or Danton Heinen. Raquel, Carter, Kaspanen. Kapanen, fuck. And then Brian Boyle, Teddy Bluger, Radim Zohorn. That's made up.
We'll see.
And Letang's having a phenomenal season.
Like,
I'm just saying, Pittsburgh is
my fan. He's on my fantasy team.
Pittsburgh's a wagon. Just saying.
I mean, they have Crosby and Malkin. So they have, like, if they were to play in the playoffs, and if they have the two best players in the series, which is obviously a plus, or like two best forwards in the series, rather, because again, I still think what's his face, Shesterkin's the difference maker there. But I also think the Rangers have a more balanced four lines than Pittsburgh, because I think after Pittsburgh, after the first two, it really drops off. And the one thing we know about the playoffs is you need depth scoring in the playoffs, and Pittsburgh may have that, but I just think the Rangers have more of it.
Fair enough.
They also want to throw out there, Tristan Jarry had a really good year a couple years ago, and then he also had another playoff flame out. So, I mean,
ooh, okay.
I need Tristan Jarry to show me that he's got it.
Yeah, yeah. Tristan Jarry, you need to show Simon Yon from Toronto.
Yeah, got it. Specifically me. Specifically. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, if this is indeed Malkin's last season on the Penguins, and you're right, I don't know why they're not talking about that more. Who would they sign with the money instead? Like, would they just put more money toward Gensel?
No one. They would just give all the money to Crosby. I think, and they sign him to an extension, make him a Penguin for life, I would imagine. And then, like, retool, get some rebuild, trade Letang probably, or let Letang, or bring Letang back either on a discounted deal, or let him walk. And then, like, rebuild. Not rebuild, but, like, build around Crosby. How old is he? 34? Yeah, he's only 34. Oh, my goodness. He's 3 years left. They could easily go out and go spend on someone. I think there's a good chance they bring Malkin back, because they currently have.
I was just gonna say
They have $4 million in cap space right now. That's enough for a Malkin extension.
True.
Unless they did, yeah. Anyways, oh, could you imagine they go get Claude Giroux? That'd be so funny. Oh my god. Yeah.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, like. There's not a whole lot here. Or maybe they will get Forsberg. We love Forsberg. That'd be a good one. Looking at free agents right now.
Possibly.
Yeah. There's not a lot here. And this is horrible, horrible radio or podcasting. But yeah, like there's not a whole lot in terms of UFAs coming up on the market. So we'll see. Again, I would have a hard time believing that I have a feeling what it's going to come down to is picking between Letang and Malkin. And I think we all know which direction you go there if you have the option.
Evan Rodriguez.
But we'll see. Yeah, Evan Rodriguez instead. Fucking $9 million extension. But yeah, I don't know. I suspect we're going to see Malkin in a Penguins jersey the rest of his career, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I really have only one more trade to talk about today.
I don't want to talk about it.
Why not?
He sucks. Why? He's so irrelevant, man. But okay, fine. I'll talk about Max Domi.
Hey,
fine.
Man. Look. Max, he's not irrelevant. He's son of
Max Domi. Okay, fine. this is interesting. It was a three-way deal. Max Domi ended up in Carolina. Assets going, there's a couple different assets, but it was Max Domi and Tyler Enomoto. I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
To Carolina. Columbus acquired Aiden Hreschuk, and the Panthers acquired 50% of Max Domi's salary, along with a 2026 Toronto sixth round pick, 2022 sixth round pick from Toronto, and former Leaf Yegor Korshkov. I think he was a Leaf.
Yeah, he was.
Not sure. You're okay. Right. So, or the signing rights to Yegor Korshkov. So, basically, Florida said, okay, we'll retain half of the money for Max Domi because we have the space, but you have to give us a draft pick and a forward basically in Yegor Korshkov. So yeah, good for Florida. Apparently had the cap space. In terms of Max Domi going to Carolina, I know I just bashed the guy for being irrelevant, but I actually like the deal a lot because he gives him depth scoring. Like, because again, they have the Hurricanes probably have one of the most underrated top six forwards in Aho, Svechnikov, Jordan Staal, Teuvo Teravainen, Martin Nechas. Like, they have a lot. Vincent Trocheck. So, like, man. And then you fill it up with like Niederreiter, Domi, Faust, Kokoniemi, Stepan.
Kokoniemi, like, who they just extended. They just extended Kokoniemi.
For 7.7.
Yeah. No. Is that what it is? No. Can you pull it up?
No, I'm looking at the wrong contract. I'm looking at Svechnikov. Kokoniemi's 8 at 4.8.
Okay, so that's not bad.
More manageable.
Yeah.
A lot more manageable.
Yeah. Although 8 years is a lot of time, but yeah.
It is, but he's only 21.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. The one thing I'm going to say about this trade is I think for any Carolina Hurricanes fan, they may be extremely disappointed by their return from this trade deadline. This is the only addition they made.
Okay, but who would you have them add? I'm genuinely curious.
Is Nino Niederreiter the best for your third line? Is he going to be the best?
That's solid.
I'm just saying
that's solid, man.
There was a lot of depth additions, that teams made during this trade deadline. By the way, the mic is really popping right now. I can hear it.
Yeah, it's right by my mouth. That's why.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like they could have added more than just Domi, and Domi is not even the best addition.
So the Carolina Hurricanes currently have $400,000 in cap space. If you take into account Max Domi's contract, they would have had about $2 million in cap space. Okay, so a little bit more than what most teams, a pretty significant chunk more than what a lot of other teams would have had. My thing is, like, I just don't know who you would have wanted to go get. Because, again, they don't have their first round pick this year. They don't have their second. They don't have, they have their second. They don't have their third. Don't have their third. They have Chicago's third. Why do they have Chicago's third? What on earth? Oh, I see. It's a draft pick swap. Okay. Draft day swap. Okay. So, like, and man, like, Nino Niederreiter 17 goals. He's going to finish the year with like 25, I would think, depending on how he plays the rest of the year. Wow, he's getting paid 5.25. That is a lot of money, though. Holy cow. So, like, and then you, like, okay. Vincent Trocheck, I'm pretty sure, is our third line center. And it's Aho, Staal, Trocheck. That's a very solid 1-2-3. And they have Freddie. Could they have used another defenseman? I mean, maybe. Like, but again, I don't think they would have been able to afford it, just given how much cap they would have had to allocate to that player. Like,
it's tough to say, but at the same time, the Carolina front office has been extremely puzzling from day one. Every single move that they've made over the last 3-4 years has been like, what? Why you do this? Like,
okay, but also, okay, yes, but also,
traditionally,
look where they're on the standings, though.
I know. But that's exactly my point. Like, based on where they are in the standings, one would believe they maybe were awarded exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this might just be something that we're extremely used to seeing NHL teams do, and it should not be a thing where if you are, you know, if you're going to make the playoffs, there's no need to go and completely revamp your roster. Just trust what you have. That's what the Carolina Hurricanes are doing. So I'm on the fence. I'm not saying the Carolina Hurricanes, they did a bad job by not adding more. I'm just
skeptical. Oh, no, yeah.
I'm just skeptical.
I didn't interpret it that way.
Yeah. Is it going to be the strategy that teams employ moving forward? Like, let's say the Carolina Hurricanes end up going really far this playoffs. I could totally see a future where coming trade deadline, the really good teams, they stand pat more than going all in, like for Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot.
I think it just depends. Like, again, with the Carolina Hurricanes, like, people don't really remember this, but like, don't know this, but like, I think they're actually good. Like, again, I have a hard time calling any like sports franchises small markets, but like the Hurricanes are relatively small budget, like small budget organizations. That's the other thing I think keep in mind as well. But like, I have a hard time believing that everyone's going to be like this. Again, I think majority of like, there's nothing that I've seen recently NHL like trade history in terms of the deadline or anything like that suggests to me that it's going to be like, okay, we're going to wait. We're basically going to stand pat at the deadline. Like the Golden Knights, look at what the Rangers just did. The Lightning are at it every year. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of, and maybe this is the big difference, like markets like Toronto, markets like Montreal, once they become competitive, markets like Boston, like there is significant pressure on the actual team to go out and make a move. Whereas I don't know what the media market is out in like in Carolina. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's significantly less than Toronto and other of the bigger Canadian markets or like some of the other markets around the States. And I feel like there's probably less pressure on them to feel like they have to go do something, especially because they've been so damn good. Like Freddie's been a Vezina caliber goalie. Their defense is still incredibly deep. Like, man. Like,
You're right.
With them losing Dougie Hamilton, there's no way I would have seen them like being the one seeing the Metro, and they're still there. Well, because of Mr. Tony D'Angelo, but that's a whole nother thing. Oh boy. Yeah.
I think we'll see what happens. Classic line that we say after every trade. But
I don't like the Hurricanes. I hope the Hurricanes don't do well, for the record.
Wow. Is it because of the signing of you-know-who?
It's Tony D'Angelo. It's Rod Brind'Amour. It's...
Wait, what's wrong with Rod Brind'Amour? Yeah,
like it just... I think he's a fantastic coach. He's done everything so well since he's been... in the league as a head coach, but man, and I say this respectfully, because like, again, I know no coach is perfect or whatever, but like, again, I feel like I see this every time, or every time I read, like I'm reading thrown headlines, he and the Carolina Hurricanes complain about every call, it feels like, in terms of refereeing. Like, I don't know, man. I know maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but like, I also think they're a low-key dirty team, to be honest. Like, again, not super dirty. They're no Boston Bruins, no Jake DeBrusk or whatever, but like, oh man, I just...
So you don't have a problem with the players specifically other than D'Angelo, but you have a problem with the way they perform on the ice and the way they conduct themselves.
Exactly. That's all it is. I love Aho. I love a lot of... Anyways. This isn't a Carolina Hurricanes thing, but go.
I'm going to quickly run you through the standings for the next minute, and then we can wrap up the day. Currently, number one in the Metro, Carolina. Number two, Rangers. Okay. Number three, Pittsburgh.
Yep. Solid.
Mute your mic, by the way. oh my God. It's so loud. Atlantic, number one, Florida. Number two, Tampa. Number three, Toronto. Wild card in the Eastern is Boston and Washington at this point in time. And it's not going to change. Only the seedings are going to change, because the next place team in the East behind Washington is Columbus, who has 13 points less than the Washington Capitals.
That's ridiculous. Holy cow.
And then Western Conference. Central goes 1-3, Colorado, Minnesota, Nashville. Pacific is Calgary, Los Angeles, Edmonton. Wild card is St. Louis and Vegas, and in the running for the wild card is Dallas. That's pretty much it. I would say Winnipeg and Vancouver, but they just kind of sold at the trade deadline. So no, it's just going to be between Dallas, Vegas, and Edmonton for that last wild card spot.
I really want Vegas and Edmonton both to miss, but I know it's almost impossible. God damn it.
You never know.
True. I do.
The teams that went all in: Rangers, Florida, Tampa again, Toronto. I would say they definitely did a lot
but they didn't go all in.
They didn't go
otherwise all in. They would not. Fine. They don't go all in. Yep.
I'm gonna say those three in the East. In the West, Colorado, Minnesota, and yeah, that's about it. So those five teams went all the way in this year at the trade deadline.
I would argue Calgary went all in because they got the Foley, but like, eh, maybe not. Okay, no, we'll leave Calgary out of it this year. Yeah.
So between those five teams, let's see which ends up making it the farthest. I still think Colorado takes the cake. We'll see what happens to the rest.
Did Colorado do anything? Oh yeah, they got Josh Manson. That's right. That's what they got. Yeah,
true. They made a bunch of small additions here and there too, dude. They did well.
I'm all right. Yeah, they're cap friendly right now. Yeah. Oh yeah, Cogliano. That's nice. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's wrap.
Go subscribe. I'm tired. That's it. No, I'm joking.
No, it could be it. Honestly.
you go follow her shit. Okay. There you go.
Okay. Peace. Bye.